Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
It's showtime, folks.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Cinema Flare here on cinemaflare.com and wherever else you listen to your favorite podcasts. First and foremost, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to Cinema Flare. I'm your host, Wade Needham, and on this episode, we have a special guest. He's been on the show before, and he will always have a spot on the show because he is my best friend in the entire world. He is a host of many other podcasts, including Two Guys Drinking and the Beer History Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the DA. What's up, DA?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me, and thanks for always making a spot for me.
You always got a spot over here, bro, whether it's on the show or at the Cinema Flare HQ out here in SoCal.
Well, that's good to know. I'm booking my ticket right now.
Woohoo! Let's go to Disneyland again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Remember the last time you came out here, we went to Disneyland. And I remember later in the day, you had to, outside the Indiana Jones ride, you went to go take a shit or something. And I was waiting for you, and I parked my power chair up against this wall thinking, all right, I'm out of the way.
Yeah.
And this big family comes walking by, and the one little kid in the group decides he's going to try to squeeze between me and the wall for some freaking reason. And halfway through, he tripped over the wheel of my power chair and he fell and started crying. And I remember his dad went over and picked him up and yelled out. He goes, "You're such a dumbass."
You know, Disney would be so much more better if it wasn't for the kids.
Oh, geez. Tell that to Joey Ryan.
Well, moving on.
Yeah, there you go. I should leave him alone, I guess, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. So the other day, you and I were shooting the shit as we usually do.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly how we got on the topic. It was probably just natural, I guess, progression of whatever we were talking about. But you came up with an interesting idea for an episode here of Cinema Flare, which of course is the reason why we're recording. You care to share your idea to the world for this episode?
Sure. Honestly, I can't really take credit for this one. It actually came from one of my co-hosts, Rob. We work in the same building now, and he stops by my office a few times a day, and we just chit chat, you know, in between the grind. And he was like, "I know you don't watch The Boys, but if you watch one episode, watch season something, episode something," right?
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, if somebody hasn't seen a show and you were going to recommend an episode to watch, what episode would it be? And do you think it would convert them to watch the full, you know, show? Like, everybody says, "Oh, you know, Breaking Bad's phenomenal. You know, this show's phenomenal. This one, you gotta watch it. But they always say, start from the beginning. And yes, I agree that a pilot, that's the point of the pilot. It's supposed to get you, introduce you to the characters and get you motivated to want to continue to watch, to get you interested. But honestly, the pilots are probably the weakest episodes of the entire series. It's when you finally get into the show is when you start having these phenomenal award-winning episodes. But then I believe I took it a step further in this concept. I asked you to come up with an episode, and I gave you an episode of a show that even if you had no idea what the show is about, you would still appreciate the show and what the writers and directors and everyone involved was trying to accomplish. So that's how we came up with this idea.
I want to kind of piggyback a little bit on what you were just talking about in terms of, say a pilot versus a mid-series run episode.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, yeah, most 9 out of 10 times pilots are a little rough to get through because you are having that introduction area. of the characters, the story arc, what it's all about, set the tone. It's new. It's unfamiliar. You know, it's uncharted territory. I think, like, for somebody that watches a show regularly, it's obviously it's easier for them to go crazy and celebrate and pop for certain things halfway through the series as it would be, say, if I were to watch, like, I don't know if I just randomly turned on the West Wing and started watching something from like season 5, I'd be lost. I would get the idea of like what the show loosely is based about, but I probably wouldn't appreciate certain marquee milestone scenes or moments when somebody's been watching from the beginning. But I like what you said about, like, you know, the aspect of you can still appreciate, you know, some of the writing, the cinematography that goes behind it and all that kind of stuff. There's, you know, it's just so many different ways you can approach watching a TV show. And I think this is, it's going to be a fun concept. When you gave me the suggestion of what to watch, it caught me off guard a little bit, because I know that you know that I don't necessarily watch a certain genre, and you threw it at me, and I tried to go into it as open-minded as possible.
And I did the same.
Yeah. And both shows that we suggested to each other are widely critically acclaimed.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that you know, we've talked about for years is we're constantly recommending shows to each other, and there are times where we give in and we watch and we really like it, but there are these certain shows, like the one you recommended and the one I recommended to you, that the other one hasn't watched for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it makes this experiment, which I hope we can do more in the future, just that more interesting. Because you and I don't know if we can be considered casual viewers, because, you know, we enjoy being immersed and, you know, we really pay attention to the little details and everything that goes into an episode or a movie. And to just flat out say, okay, watch this and tell me what you think without any backstory or having watched any other episodes is very interesting in my view.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. The way that you and I specifically analyze shows is definitely different than the average casual television watcher. For me, I know it goes back to something that a professor said to me once in a film class. And I always think about it. Every time I go see a movie in the movie theater, as I'm leaving the theater, this one line pops into my head every single time. And the first day of class, he told us all, he said, when you guys are done with this class, you will never watch a movie the same ever again. You're never going to be able to enjoy a movie in its true form as a moviegoer. And he was correct in that, because I watch a movie, I'm thinking to myself, like, all right, what plot point is this? You know, are we at the midway? Mm-hmm. You know, is this the regroup? Is this the climax? I'm constantly thinking that. I'm thinking, where's the twist? Where's the turn? Where's the character arc? Is this a hero story? I start thinking about that kind of stuff. I don't think too much about that when it comes to television, because, like, in my personal experience with, like, classes that I took and all that stuff, it was more about, you know, film than it was TV shows. And they are different animals. They're structured differently. In an overall arc, they do have the three act, you know, Freytag's pyramid kind of thing, right? But television shows are also structured differently because you have episodes that go into it. Where movies, you have part one, part two, or you have a trilogy, or in some cases, like Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. you know, you have like 20 of them, but they're not procedural, they're serialized, where they're each their own individual story behind it. But yeah, this was an interesting concept. I feel bad because you suggested a 30-minute show and I gave you a one-hour show.
Well, I think, I don't remember. We were trying to set ground rules, and I think that was one of them. It was, it can't be more than, as far as lengthwise, more than the other one suggested. And then at the point, I was just like, nah, it's all right. They're both TV shows. They're both trying to accomplish the same thing. So, as long as we're not giving each other three-hour episodes to watch, I think we'll be fine.
It's funny because, like, last night, I watched the two new episodes of Stranger Things season 4, and episode 8 is an hour and 25 minutes, and episode 9 is 2 hours and 22 minutes. And, like, that's wow. Those are movies.
Yeah, those are not episodes at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't publicly stated my opinion yet on the season finale of Stranger Things. I'm going to say it right now, and I'm probably going to get shit for it, but that episode could have been an hour and a half. Not saying I didn't like it. I loved it. It could have been an hour and a half, though. There is a lot of things that just stretched out for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, so who should go first? You want to go first? You want me to go first? What?
I guess I could go first. Okay. Reviewing the episode you gave me.
One of my favorite shows that I like to watch in the last few years that's fairly new is Euphoria on HBO. And I remember, like, before it came out, you and I were talking about it. I think you even said it, that from the trailer it looked interesting, that you'd give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And I know that up to this point that you hadn't given it a shot yet. And I'm always wondered why. I know you're a busy guy, but I remember my first impression of the show, when I first watched the first episode, I almost gave up on it.
Okay.
But I started reflecting back on how the episode was put together. Some of the characters were annoying to me, but I freaking loved the way the show looked. And especially at that time in my life, I was, like, really into that kind of shit. I still am, but, like, heavily back in 2019 when that show came out. But yeah, I wanted to. From the reason why I suggested this episode to you, which is the fourth episode in the first season of Euphoria, wasn't necessarily from a story standpoint. I guess it was somewhat kind of like from a character one as well, because some of the characters, even by episode 4, have been well established. I think you can watch this episode and know who's who and what they're about. But from a visual standpoint, how it came out is why I recommended it to you. Cause I know that you're a big sucker for, production and showmanship.
Oh yeah. And it definitely showed in this episode. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I somewhat knew what to expect, but when I started watching the, what I refer to as the cold open, I guess, I don't know. Right before the title screen, the sequence of events, I was kind of like, where is this going? And there was a lot of twists and turns in that short little, story, and that felt like it could have been an episode of its own. And I was just like, oh, okay. And that's what I really appreciate was, it wasn't necessarily a lot of talking. There was a voiceover, but a lot of it was visual storytelling, enough to get the person to start thinking in their mind, like, oh, where's this going? Oh, I know how this is going to end up, and so on and so forth. As far as that's concerned, that was very interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, I like the editing of this episode, the pacing, the camera work, the music, the score was, perfect, not distracting. It was a pretty damn good episode, but ultimately I don't think I'm going to watch anymore.
Yeah.
I just found the characters, like, though they're interesting, just very annoying. And the dialogue, very annoying.
And I can definitely understand why you would have that feeling. These characters are very polarizing. There's no middle ground between them.
Like, I don't remember the names, but this one guy is hanging out with this other chick, and they're having fun at the carnival and whatnot, and she goes off to get slushies. He's talking to a hotter chick, and the first chick thinks, oh, well, he doesn't want anything to do with me. And then she just finds some carny, fucks him. He comes in like 30 seconds, and then that's it. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was such a... I felt like everybody in this episode overreacted to everything.
Oh, they do. They, yes. That is one thing that these characters do across the board on this whole series is they overreact. And like, I don't know if that's like, if that's done on purpose or an accident or if like it's a generational thing.
I think it's intentionally, you know, because they're all kids, right? They're in high school. Yeah, they're
supposed to be in high school, but yeah. Like, all right. Did you know anybody that acted like that when you were in high school? Not to date ourselves, but I mean, obviously, like, you know, I'm gonna be fucking 39 this year. Mm-hmm. You are like what, a year away from being legally able to run for president?
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's been a while. It's been a minute, man, since we've been in high school.
Yeah.
When you were in high school, were there people that acted like that?
I mean, for me personally, I think I overreacted a lot of times as a kid. And I think it's just because of, you know, what's going on and your expectations versus reality.
But yeah, but I mean, there's a difference between like over, like, you know, somebody you pissed off, you punch a locker, you overreact, right?
Yeah.
They, you know, versus you're at a carnival, you see somebody you're with talking to somebody else, so you just go fuck a carny. You haven't fucked any carnies in your life, have you?
Not since summer stock, but
maybe some clowns. But
bravo. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's when it started taking me out of the episode. You know, like the part where I think Jules is her name. Sees that got the father making the chili and goes like, yeah. that was a very interesting, very tense scene. But then I go back to the other chick fucking the carny. It's like there's constantly a good and a bad, you know, and you're constantly flip-flopping. Like the chicks taking Molly, they were, you could have taken that part out of the episode, in my opinion. They were useless. And then at the end, the dad's son, right, is like pretending he's an idiot, and then all of a sudden he's a mastermind of what he's gonna do. He's gonna report the Jules for child pornography and all this other stuff. And it's like, are they stupid or are they smart? Which, pick a lane.
Yeah, that character you're talking about, Nate Jacobs, that dude is like the most hated character on this entire show. This dude is straight. Yeah. Oh, he's an asshole. He is. I want to punch the crap out of this fucking guy, man. And, you know, I could tell you this because you just said you're not going to watch the series anymore, but season 2, episode 1, the character Fez, the drug dealer dude that hangs out with the little kid, he beats the shit out of Nate at the party. There's there's a big high school party, and Nate, he's in there, and Fez is just eyeballing him, and finally he just walks right up to him and just fucking beats him to a bloody pulp, bro. And it was such a big mark out moment, because like the whole first season you're just like, somebody's got to take this asshole out, and they open up the second season with somebody taking this asshole out.
Some fan service right there.
Yeah, but you know, the character that went and screwed the carny, you know, she's probably one of my most disliked characters on the show. I liked her at first.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because we're talking about the fourth episode here. by this episode, I didn't like her anymore. That's how fast I turned on this broad. But my favorite character is Cassie, the one that where she went on the merry-go-round and got dude to finger her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting sequence as well, you know, seeing her reaction and then the people waiting to go on the ride's reaction.
Yeah, this is this show is not for everybody. But I think like if you were to watch these shows, say on mute, and just to watch the visual aspect of it, how they're put together, what they look like, the colors, the use of colors is just phenomenal. I've for a TV show, I haven't seen anything that looked like this before.
That's honestly the only reason why I kept watching is just I was really immersed with the use of, like you said, color and lighting and the score and just everything in between. You know, nothing felt distracting, or my focus was always on what I assume the writers and the directors wanted me to focus on. I was never like, oh, that guy in the background's fingering some chick or something. I was focused on the characters in front of me.
Did you notice Rue's little sister?
Mm-hmm.
She was out there in the parking lot hanging out with the Usos. Yeah, those twins, they get into a lot of trouble, man. It's funny, I can't remember if it was this episode or a previous one or maybe one after that, but the character Kat, the one that screwed the carny, mm-hmm. she did like a gangbang with the twins, which was funny.
Yeah, that could be funny.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. But how would you score this episode from, all right, let's do like, I guess, three aspects. Let's do cinematography, let's do writing, and then I guess an overall.
Cinematography, definitely, I would give it a 7 for sure. It's definitely one of the best. Writing, probably feel more comfortable at a 4 out of 10. I really appreciate the visual storytelling aspect of it, but as far as the dialogue between the characters really turned me off, and I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Overall, I feel comfortable at a 5 out of 10. I mean, it's a good episode, but not to the point where I'm like, oh, I think I'll continue watching.
Yeah. Okay. It's fair enough.
As a film geek, you know, it had me over the moon, but as a casual watcher, I'm like, not for me.
Yeah, you know, I'm somewhat the same way. Like I do like the writing more than you do, obviously. I would score it higher in my personal opinion, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where I'm watching the shows and I do cringe. And I think it's because of two reasons. I think one is because of my age, and second, because, like, I mean, let's be real, it's a chick show primarily. Yeah. There's dudes in it that have, you know, story arcs and whatnot, but the main characters are chicks. I can't relate to that shit. I cannot relate to being a chick in high school. I can relate to being in high school, but I can't being a chick in high school, especially nowadays. And I know today's society is a lot different than it was in the 90s when I was in high school. You know, we didn't do that much crazy shit. As a matter of fact, like, I'm so old that I could fucking be the parent of these kids.
Yeah, I think that's maybe why I was turned off by the episode so much, is I couldn't find any character that I related with.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head on that one. I'm trying to think, is there any characters that I can relate to? And there's not, which I think makes it a little bit easier for me to kind of enjoy it, because it's like you ever heard the term, people say they hate drama, but yeah. They only hate drama when it happens to them. But if it happens to somebody else, oh, they love it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I can't relate to this shit. So, therefore, I just sit back and watch and enjoy the chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You want to watch a car wreck. You don't want to be in a car wreck.
Exactly.
All right. There you go. DA, 5 out of 10 for Euphoria Season 1, Episode 4.
What was that?
Well, I was going to say, go ahead and introduce my episode.
This is the episode that I recommended to you that actually kind of gave me the inspiration for this whole podcast idea, because I feel like there's just so much in this that it's to love. But for the show that I recommended for you to watch was Rick and Morty. And I was recommended to watch this show by my buddy Dave. And I remember I watched the first episode and I'm like, okay, this is all right. And then I started watching more and now I'm an absolute fan. But every once in a while, behind the fart jokes and all this other stuff, you get a really deep emotional episode. And I felt like this one is one of them. It's from Season 4, Episode 8, and it's the Vat of Acid episode. Tell me what you think. Like, when I recommended Rick and Morty to you, were you kind of like, I don't know if I want to watch that?
I wouldn't say that it was, I don't want to watch that. It was, I wonder if I can get through this.
Okay.
Because I primarily don't watch a lot of animation. I can't remember, honestly, like the last time that I was like, I would say a huge fan of animation to the point where I'm like, oh, you know what, man, I can't wait to watch this. Like probably back when like Beavis and Butthead was originally on the air.
Okay.
I was very young when I stopped watching animations and cartoons. Actually, it's kind of funny, because like in junior high and high school, a lot of my friends were watching it and they're like, dude, you gotta watch this, and I'm like, no. And why not, man? This is the coolest thing. And I'm like, it's just not my thing. Yeah, even at the age of 10, I think I was not really into that stuff. But yeah, when I first turned it on, and like immediately, like they're like already into the story. There's no like subtle, like, you know, push into what this is going to be about. It's like, boom, you're right there. They're going to meet up with these gangsters or whatever. They got these, they want the jewels or some shit like that. They're going to do the money. And Rick is the older one, right?
Yes.
All right. So he's explaining to Morty. He's telling him, if this goes sour, jump in the same vat of acid as me. And he's freaking out. Morty's freaking out, you know? He's like, what do you mean jump into a vat of acid? Why do you even have a fake vat of acid? You know, all this shit, right? Pretty question. And the deal goes sour. They jump into the vat of acid underneath. All that the fake acid, you know, he's got that contract door that he opens up, the bones float to the top, and the gangsters are up there like, oh, well, there's bones. I guess they really did die. Okay. But then they sit there all day long.
I'm sorry.
You know, yeah, because the leader is reminiscing about things. He's having a moment.
He's just blown away. Like, I think one of his lines is, you know, it took like a good 5 seconds before the bones came up. Can you imagine the amount of pain they're in?
Right? Yeah. And so then they're like, all right, well, let's throw the dead body of our guy in there. And they're like, well, what if he doesn't, you know, go? So let's test it out or something like that. They throw the rat in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're underneath the acid scrambling to whittle out little bones out of a big bone.
So so ridiculous.
Yeah, and I was just like, what the fuck am I watching? Eventually, they get up there, they blast them fuckers out, and they head home. And I'm like, well, that's a day's work, I guess. And then Morty's pissed off because Rick doesn't take his ideas in. Finally does. Morty's idea is to invent this thing where you can, in life, in reality, in the world, you could set a save point. So you can hit a button and go back to it if shit doesn't go your way. Which is funny because he challenged fucking Rick to do it. And Rick like swerved him. He's like, oh, I didn't get it done. And then he's like, ah, I did get it done. You know, I thought that was funny. I thought, because you and I do shit like that to each other. We create safe points in life.
In Second Life.
Yes. And so pretty much like the bulk of the episode is fucking Morty going around just fucking with the world. Until he meets the girl of his dreams. And I kept thinking to myself, like, all right, when is the foot going to drop? When is he going to get pissed? Mm-hmm. And he's going to hit that fucking button and reset it all. It never happened. I appreciate, I think the biggest thing I appreciate is a throwback in this episode to a movie called Alive. I don't know if you ever even heard of that movie. It came out in 1990.
No, I don't think so.
It was based on a true story. I want to say it actually happened in like the 70s and maybe even the early 80s. It was a South American football team, and they were flying over the Andes Mountains in where's the Andes? That's Argentina, I think, right? Sure. Yeah, my geography of South America is fucking awesome. I can tell you fucking, you know, capuchin monkeys came from there. That's New World monkeys, but that's all I know. And Pablo Escobar. But anyway, so they're in the airplane and like it crashes in the Andes Mountains. And it's fucking snow, all that shit. You know, they have to survive. And they eventually, you know, they have to become cannibals. They have to eat, you know, dead bodies to survive. So there was a throwback to that in this episode of Rick and Morty where they were on an airplane. They were about to crash. He wanted to hit the reset button. He lost control of his bag in the control panel thing. They crash. They're eating the dead body. He goes on this long excursion back to the back half of the airplane where it crashed and get his shit. They're all hanging out in the family room. I don't know. I'm skipping over a bunch of shit, but they're all hanging out in the family room. And I think it's his dad accidentally fucking hits the button.
Yeah.
He resets everything. And he goes right to the beginning of right when he's about to meet the chick. And he runs up and I guess he's probably, you know, he doesn't realize it or doesn't think about it. And he just starts explaining all this shit to her, starts talking to her like they've known each other. Cause to him, they've known each other.
Yeah.
Gets freaked out, starts fucking macing him. He's hitting the button, but the save point started in the middle of being maced, so he's just continuously just getting fucking maced in a loop.
Poor kid.
I thought that was funny. And then like I'm trying to think, like I'm trying to remember exactly, like it was there a progression into him going back to Rick, or did it just immediately like he just went back to Rick?
Man, you know, I've watched this episode so many times. I think it was
he went back to Rick.
Yeah, and then Rick revealed that he actually wasn't saving his point in time. He was actually killing other Mortys in the multiverse.
Yes. Yeah, he had like a whole like timeline.
Yeah.
Like it looked like he was editing shit in Sony Vegas. Like he had a bunch of different timelines and clips and shit. But then like the FBI, the cops, like the entire world like showed up And Rick wanted him to jump into the fake vat of acid to pretend to kill himself to get everybody to leave. And so he did.
Kiss the vat.
Yeah. And I didn't know that there was a post-credit scene until you said there was.
I
And I
know.
had already watched the episode last night, and I never went back to go watch it, but I read about what it was. And the description here says, in a post-credit scene, one of the policemen present at the siege of the Smith home, who came to believe himself impervious to acid, appears on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson being alive in this dimension, lowers himself into the vat of real acid, resulting in a painful death.
Grade A comedy.
Did I miss anything in this recap?
No, that sums it up, in my opinion.
All right. You know me. I have a hard time remembering shit like offhand. This I didn't have notes for this other than I had a Wikipedia open just to fucking pull up that little note about the post-credit scene there. But I think I did an okay job recapping that off the fucking top of my head from watching this thing like 12 hours ago.
No, definitely. I mean, you hit all the points there.
Yeah, all right. Can I be honest with you?
I would hope.
I wish that you could have watched me watch this episode.
That
No, it wouldn't have been.
would
I'm gonna be very honest with you. I'm not joking. No cap, as the kids say these days.
have been
I watched this whole episode with a straight face.
awesome.
And not one laugh out loud. I had an internal chuckle here and there. But I thought to myself, what the fuck am I watching?
It is definitely very juvenile comedy.
Yes. I was taken back by the language used in this cartoon.
Okay, Grandpa.
What? No, like, hey, come on, man. I grew up in the South Park generation. I didn't watch it, but I knew of it. You know, they don't even go to that extent. And South Park gets a lot of shit from people for being, you know, obscene.
Well, they did call Tom, or what's that guy's name for Mission Impossible? Tom Cruise a fudge packer.
Well, that ain't shit.
It's very obscene.
Not as much as a grandfather and a grandson running around making fucking deals with gangsters from other dimensions, saying fuck and shit like crazy. Like I was just I didn't expect that.
I think one of the when Morty was going through his save points, the two that stand out in my mind was when he gets shot by the cops and the cops go, "Oh, death by cops! I love those!" And then they start
Oh,
shooting.
yeah.
And then the second one is where Morty's driving the car and there's a homeless guy, and the homeless guy is like, "You're living your life too fast, Morty." He's like, "I don't pay you for your friendship."
Or what about when he pushed the dude out of the wheelchair?
That's fucked up.
I had an appreciation for that one.
I
I
think the
knew.
one that really had me scratching my head, but was like, okay, that's I like that one, was when Morty was using it to actually save points in a game. And he
Yes.
kept dying. It was like, wait, what? That's not what I would use it for, but I mean, I guess.
That's like you know it's funny because like that's a real thing almost if you really think about that right it's like the Nintendo Switch is a brand new I mean it came out 5 years ago but it's Nintendo's newest console right
Yes.
it's the new console but you can play Nintendo on it. It's an emulation. Mm-hmm. You're using a video game to play a video game.
All right, I gotta know, what's your thoughts? What are your ratings for the writing, production, and overall?
All right, for the writing, oh jeez,
you sound like 40 now. Oh jeez, Rick.
All right, for the writing, all right, this episode had, it didn't feel like it was just thrown together like slapstick kind of shit for no apparent reason. You know, every action had a reaction. There was definitely thought process behind it. So I give them a lot of points for that one. Dialogue caught me off guard. It was, it was different. You got to think, dude. I grew up in the 80s, man. Uh-huh. They didn't have cartoons like this back then, at least not available to me. Yeah, without getting a spanking for watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah, writing, I would give it I give it a 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, because there was some cool, I mean, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but there was some cool throwbacks and pop culture references in there. Mm-hmm. That kind of, you know, were fun. From a production standpoint, they're going to get a little higher than usual score for me for an animation for one reason. One thing I hate about cartoons nowadays is that every character talks a million miles a second and has a high-pitched voice, and I can't stand that shit. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case with Rick and Morty, at least not this episode. But like, I would flip through channels, different cartoons would be on, and oh my god, all the characters are here talking like this. And it's just fucking, it's like that Tiffany Haddish shit, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I just can't stand it, man. It's nails on a fucking chalkboard to me. They didn't do that. So obviously for that, for me, you get a +4. Wow. On top of what I would already give them. And I would probably give them, for production, I'll give them a 9.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. That's like a very decent score.
Yeah, no, it was a very well put together production.
You know, and that's something when people talk about Rick and Morty, don't necessarily say.
But yeah, no, it was a very fluid cartoon. Like there was nothing like a lot of cartoons nowadays too, in addition to like the high pitched million words a second fucking dialogue. A lot of them, they'll throw in like the strobe effects and you have a fucking a little seizure fucking watching this shit. I didn't get that from this. It was pleasant to the eye. Not necessarily pleasant to the psyche, but it was pleasant to the eye. And overall, probably like a 7.75.
Okay. So is it safe to assume that the vibe I'm getting is that you enjoyed the episode, but you probably won't continue?
Oh yeah, I know for a fact I won't continue, but I enjoyed it and I appreciate it.
Okay.
But it's just not my cup of tea.
I gotta say, it's a pretty successful experiment so far.
Yeah.
I mean, the goal, we were straight and honest with each other that the goal would never be to actually convert somebody. It's just to get your opinion on the episode and see if we synced up as far as appreciating it, even though it's a show we wouldn't normally watch. And I would say that's a success in my view.
Oh, yeah. You and I can have conversations like this as opposed to other people that we know that would be like, hey, did you watch this episode? Oh, it's garbage. The end. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have a conversation outside of 1 minute with a person.
Yep.
Yeah. We can analyze shit. We can appreciate things, even if it's not our cup of tea. Put personal feelings aside, as they say. But, yeah, you know, I had never watched an episode of Rick and Morty in my entire life before that. I don't ever watched a scene. I think the closest I ever got is seeing a picture. You know, like a screenshot or something.
Yeah.
Or like Halloween, kids are coming up to the door. My dog's barking and they're like, oh, cool dog. What's his name? I go, Morty. And they're like, oh, like Rick and Morty. And I'm like, oh. No. Not why he's named that, but okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even name him. My dad did.
Yeah.
His original name was Artie, actually. I don't know if you know that or not.
Was Artie short for something?
Arthur.
Arthur. Oh, for some odd reason, I thought you were going to say
Artemis. No. Well, it's funny you say Artemis, because that was a character in Ready Player One, which is very similar to this episode of Rick and Morty in the aspect of pop culture references. But to kind of tie that all in, I guess we just did the fucking Kevin Bacon theory on fucking this shit. But no, the lady that previously owned Morty when he was a pup, she named him Arthur because he looked like an Arthur to her.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she got the dog. He was always in a cage because she'd always, like, never be home. And then she finally realized she didn't have time for him. And that's when we adopted him from her. And my dad renamed him Morty because one of his best friends who had passed away had a dog named Morty. And okay. Morty and Artie are kind of similar. They sound the same, so we didn't think they'd be that much of a learning curve for Morty to know his name. And it just kind of stuck, which is great because he's a goofy dog. And I always call him my mozzarella cheesy dog because he's cheesy as shit, but he's funny.
I mean, you know, having spent plenty of time with Morty, I could tell you he's definitely not a cage dog. He deserves to be out and about. You know, he's a very well-behaved dog.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you say that this is a success. I liked it. I think it's a success as well. It's a big success. It's a great success. It's a grand success.
You know, there have been many successes, but not as successful as this success.
Exactly. It's a success that is building on more success down the road.
You know, there's people out there saying that successes are good, but they don't know that this success is the best. And now they're coming to me and saying, sir, we understand your success here, and we know that it's very successful.
Exactly. There you go. Maybe we could do another episode.
All right, I'd love to.
Would you like to talk about off the air what our suggestions should be for the next one, or should we do it here on the spot?
I know for me, I'm going to have to do a little bit more thinking. I don't have something off the top of my head.
Okay.
Did you have something in mind?
No, that's why I was asking if you want to do that, because I was going to pull up some notes. But, all right, yeah, no, we'll do another one of these for sure.
All right, sweet. I'm all for it. And if we can get other people involved, that'd be cool too. Be interested to see how other, you know, you and I, we know our each other's tastes. And we know what excites the other one. It sounds gayer than I want it to be. No offense.
You mean that in a non-movie type of way, right?
Yeah, but like you mentioned earlier, you bring on somebody else and be like, oh, that fucking sucked. I don't care. And then move on.
Yeah. It's hot garbage. you know, real quick before we head out.
Uh-huh.
I want to tell everybody a story out there real quick.
There we go.
Because like this this is nothing new to us. Like you said at the very top of the show, that we have always recommended shows to each other. I think one of the most successful recommendations between the two of us for a show that one suggested to the other, that the other most likely would have never given the time of day, but actually surprisingly became one of their probably top 25 favorite TV shows of all time.
Okay.
Was in 2008. You recommended the show Weeds to me.
Ah, yes.
And to this day, I love that show so much. And it's funny because that show now, I did a rewatch of it like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even 3 years ago, so much is different from now from 3 years ago, let alone when I watched that show 3 years ago, thinking back to when that show was actually on the air. And people were afraid to talk about, you know, or demonstrating, you know, marijuana and all that stuff. And now, holy crap, man. You can legally grow your own shit in your backyard.
Yep.
Like that show, the premise of that show, at least the early seasons, would be like, you know, you go into a room and you pitch that, they're going to be like, okay, so it's a show about everyday life. Okay. Cool. Wasn't the case back in when that show started, what, like 2006 or something like that?
That might explain why it took those weird turns in the later seasons, because at that point, weed was just part of everyone's everyday life. Not necessarily that, but more acceptable in modern society is what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because what, the show ended in 2012. Marijuana was still illegal then, mm-hmm. especially growing it. I would like, I mean, we all have our own different interpretations. This shit is, it's art. We all have our own interpretations. I personally, I like to think of it as a very, very long, elaborated, what, 8 or 9 season inside joke that weed is a gateway drug. Because this show eventually went on to like coke and all that stuff, you know, the cartels and all that yep. crap, you know. And it all started with, you know, a widow selling some dime bags at the park.
At the soccer game.
Yeah. And she got wrapped up with Alberto Del Rio. For legal purposes, I have to say that not the actual Alberto Del Rio. It's a nickname I gave the guy, the character Esteban. Don't want to get sued for defamation of character here. He looked like Alberto. Kind of like the guy looked like Alberto Del Rio that went to try to screw Tony Montana's sister in the bathroom stall.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we're rambling at this point. Fun episode. I do want to do more of these. This is cool. Because, you know, it opens our mind to things. It might, you know, people listening to this might even have their own discourse with, you know, their friends and family members too. And it might become like a fun little party game where people get together and they just do it in their living room and they have parties and shit and they just watch parties that way.
You know, what really intrigues me is if we ever get to the point where we're able to convert the other person into watching the series. I think that would be the height of success, to be going, oh, wow, you really liked that episode so much that you had to go back and rewatch the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, when I was taking a screenwriting class, the teacher said, and what one of the things that we had to do, the main project was to write a short film, right? But one of the examples that he gave about a good short film is if you can tell the story in a short film, and essentially you want to design it as being your most key scene in a full movie. Case in point, Whiplash. That was a short film. And it was so powerful that they were like, wow, you can make a whole movie based off this one scene. And they did.
Sorry. Strong words from a strong man.
What up? Can the one episode get you to watch the whole thing? You know, that, can the one scene be made into a whole movie?
And I think that's the overall experiment of what we're trying to accomplish here. Not necessarily trying to push the other one into watching a show. Just if you can appreciate this episode, would it make you want to go and watch the whole thing?
Yeah. And there might be somebody listening to this too, be like, wait a minute. Fuck this guy. He didn't like that. What? Yeah. Anyway, before we head out, any shout outs, any plugs, words of wisdom?
Sure. You can listen to my beautiful voice on two other podcasts. The first one is Two Guys Drinking. The other one is the Beer History Podcast. And you can find those anywhere you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Google, iTunes, anywhere. And that's pretty much it. Thanks for having me on. You know, a lot of fun as always.
Well, like I said at the top of the show, man, you always get a spot on this show, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Cinema Flare. Don't forget to check out cinemaflare.com. That's all we got. It's the podcast now. We gave up on the Twitch thing. We just got the podcast for this. Check out our sister website. Shister. Check out our sister website.
Check out our sister website.
How quick I corrected myself on that too, right? Yeah, check out our sister website, ringscoops.com for pro wrestling stuff. We kind of pivoted. We changed a lot of stuff on that too. But yeah, we got our Twitch channel on that. We got the occasional podcast over there on that as well. But yeah, yeah. And if you guys are, yeah, absolutely. Evolution, baby. Also, before we head out, another thank you to DA and everyone else that participated a while back in the stream for Starlight Twitch stream that we did. We were able to raise $850 to the Starlight Children's Foundation. And overall, across the board, with every streamer involved in it, over that course of that weekend, we all raised over $35,000 for the Starlight Children's Foundation. So round of applause and pat on the back for everybody that was involved, and a big thank you.
That's amazing, because you just think about, you know, it's just $35,000 to you and me, but to all the kids that's going to help, you know, give just a little bit of a distraction from what they're going through and put a smile on their face is just amazing. You know, I feel very privileged to be a small part of it.
Absolutely, man. It feels good for me to be able to pay it forward and give back as well, because they did some great shit for me when I was 15.
You got to meet The Rock.
Hell yeah, man. And you know, you can trust me on a lot of things because of that, right?
Exactly.
It's an old inside joke from a commercial, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to Cinema Flare. On behalf of the DA, I am Wade Needham. See you until next time. Rock on.